I want to welcome you again into our service this morning. Hope you feel Christ's love this morning. If you are visiting with us, perhaps it's your first time to visit with us, and perhaps you've been here a few times, and we don't have a record of who you are. There's a blue card in the chair in front of you. Invite you to fill that out and just leave it there in your seat. We'll pick that up. We won't stalk you or anything weird like that, but we just like to know that you're here. We can't be truly your church unless we know you. And so it's just our way of trying to get to know you. And just a spoiler alert, if you fill that out and you're a first-time visitor and you fill that out, you might get some cookies. Like, not as, probably as many as Billy got, but you might get some cookies out of the deal. So, just a little incentive there. Turn with me, if you would, to Isaiah. Not often I preach out of Isaiah, but Isaiah 48. A little past halfway in your Bible, Isaiah. Isaiah 48, beginning or reading verse 17. This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. So first of all, it's identifying this. The prophet Isaiah is identifying who's speaking and identifying not only who's speaking, but who he is. He's your Redeemer. He's the Holy One of Israel. And this is what he says. I am the Lord your God who teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in the way you should go. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we have invited you here. Now I invite you to not just be here with us, but to speak to us. Invite you to speak in power, with purpose, transform our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to start out by asking a question. Do you believe that God has a purpose for your life? I mean, let me ask that again. Some of you answered very quickly, and that's good. But a few of you may have been puzzled by that question, maybe not quite sure. Does God have a purpose for your life? I believe God, this is confirmed throughout God's Word, I believe our ultimate purpose, if we look at the grand global scheme of everything, not the details, but the overarching purpose of our life, I believe it's to bring glory to God. Everything we do, every decision we make, the way we conduct ourselves, our thoughts, how we treat others, everything about us should bring glory to God. That's the ultimate meaning of life, in my opinion, and I believe that God's Word backs that up. So I want us to dig a little deeper than that and dig down to what are the details of how do we do that. I mean, is he calling everyone to be a pastor? Some of you are thinking, I can do better than that guy. But you're probably thinking, I hope not. That's not my thing. He's not calling everybody to be pastors, but he all is calling each of us to bring glory to his name. So how do we accomplish what God would want to accomplish in us? So we're going to continue the sermon series that I started last week, Weathering the Storm. And today's message is lack of purpose. One of the storms that we have in our lives is not having any purpose. Now, I know my mind works in not like God quietly, but it works in mysterious ways sometimes, okay, my brain. I don't know why this came to my mind, but in basketball, they don't do it anymore because they've instituted the shot clock, but they used to have a stall tactic in basketball, and they called it kind of the four corners offense. And Dean Smith, which was a coach, kind of a renowned coach for North Carolina, he was kind of the master of this offense. And the purpose of this offense in basketball was not to score. It was not necessary. Well, I guess ultimately it was to win the game, but it was just to take time off the clock. You would do it many times to try to control the other team if you had a lead or something. So you would space the players out, in four of them in each corner, and then one in the center, and then they would move, and the goal really wasn't to score. It was just to burn clock. And I was thinking this weekend, as I was putting this together, I was thinking, that's the way many of us live our life. Hello. We are in the four corners offense of life. We're really not quite sure what we're supposed to be doing here. We're just burning clock. The objective, I just don't want to have anything really bad happen. I just, just kind of safe. Does that resonate a little bit more? Safe. Anybody ever been a period in their life where they just kind of, the decisions, I just want safe decisions? God doesn't want us to just run out the clock of our life. He has a plan for us. He has a purpose for us. And lack of purpose is a storm. I want us to, before we move into the points, I want to say this. The way that we hear, well, let's go ahead and go to number one because this ties in. You will know and fulfills God's will in your life if you actively listen to God. Actively listen to God. Now, Cheryl and I, many of you have heard kind of a little bit of our story, but Cheryl and I married really young. I knew that I had to get her quick before she figured out that it would have been a mistake to marry me. So I got her quick. She was 18, I was 19. We were total morons. I was a real moron, and Cheryl was coming out of the moron stage, basically. But we spent 10 years of our marriage just trying to figure it out. And it was a lot of brokenness and woundedness and dysfunction, and we just didn't really know. And Cheryl, during that time, if you don't know it, men, listen up. I'm fixing to give you a secret. Are you ready? Women need to be cherished. Your wife needs to be cherished by her husband if you're married. Are you hearing me, man? Shake your head if you're out there hearing me. Shake your head. Your wife needs to be cherished. And Cheryl used to use this word treasure. She would say to me, and I was all about sports and stuff. I mean, I was going all the time and doing stuff with my buddies and totally neglecting her emotional needs. And she used to say to me, I need you to treasure me. And being the romantic genius that I was like, what does that mean? I don't even know what that means. You know, I don't slap you around, and I come home every day, and I work for a living, and I provide, and I just thought, what? Treasure you? It wasn't until, number one, I had to come to this place in our life, in my life, I had to come to this desire. I had to understand that she was a treasure, and I had to have this desire to treasure her. Then, once I had the desire, I began to press in to our relationship. And so I have a lot better understanding now, after 34 years of marriage. How in the world have you put up with me that long? I have no idea. After 34 years of marriage, I have a lot better idea what she was saying, that she needed to be treasured by her husband. Now, so there's this, how do we discern the will of God? We actively listen to Him. We press into Him. We have to have this desire to hear what He would tell us about our lives. Do you have the desire to know what God's will is in your life? Because I want to tell you, it's sometimes out of that safe, it's like, if I really ask, He might tell me to do something I don't want to do. Like forgive somebody. And I don't want to forgive. He might tell me to treat that person kindly. He might tell me that what I'm doing on the internet doesn't please Him, doesn't bring glory to His name. He might tell me all kinds of things. But I want to tell you, as we press into God and as we actively listen to God, as Billy said earlier in the prayer, man, He just wants good things for us. He wants good things for us. He doesn't want to punish us. He doesn't want to make us miserable. In fact, just the opposite. He wants to make us whole. He wants us to have abundant life. He wants us to be well. So, actively listen to God. If we want to know and fulfill His will in our life, we actively listen to God. We need to press into Him. So how do we hear from God? The first is prayer. Now, we have made prayer into Jesus being the cosmic Santa Claus in the sky. We want to sit in His lap and give Him our list. Don't we? That's not prayer. Sometimes it's asking things of God. Sometimes it's sharing our heart. That's a piece of it. God, help me with this or that, or help me, you know, so to submit our request to God. That's a piece of prayer. But it's also this active listening. God, what would you say to me? Now, I won't, and I'm not going to, because I didn't get permission to do this, so I'm not going to name names, but about a year and a half ago, I may get emotional talking about this, because anyway, about a year and a half ago, I was sitting, and I just sat there, and I just tried to get silent, be quiet, and I said, God, what would you say to me? What would you say to me? And immediately, a man's name came to my mind. A man's name came to my mind. And I began to pray for that person. I had already prayed for that person, but the Lord was just showing me to bear down, to press in, to pray for this person. And I want to say, just a few months ago, that person accepted Christ. And I don't take credit for that. I'm just saying that when God, when we listen to God and He speaks to us, He has something to say. He has something to say. He has something He wants us to do, even if it's just to change some behavior in our life, or it's to make a specific request of someone, to forgive someone, any of those kinds of things. So we pray. James, in God's Word in James, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, any of us ever lack wisdom? Well, what does the Word say? It says, you should ask God. If you lack wisdom, ask God, who gives generously to all, not some, not sometimes, not maybe, but to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. You lack wisdom? Ask. You want to know if you should change jobs? Ask. God will show you. He's not hiding from you, trying to, it's like, oh, you know, which pocket is the answer in, you know? That's not what God does. He yearns to speak to us. He yearns for people who press into Him, who want wisdom, who want to know His will. Ask, and He will give it to you generously. Psalms 37 says, be still and know that I am. Be still and wait for the patiently for Him. And then 46:10 in Psalms says, be still and know that I am God. So we pray, and we press in. We listen. We don't just give God our laundry list of what we need, but we listen. Listen. And I will tell you, quiet is usually necessary. Sometimes I hear very often from God, I put on some worship music, whatever kind of worship music you like. And I put it on, and I just let the Holy Spirit just kind of wash over me through the worship music. The song that we came from that, the song that we begin, lead into this time with, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Our staff, we pray every Tuesday morning for you guys and for our church, for the kingdom. And we were together, and that song came on, and I'm telling you, God just stirred my heart through that song. And I really felt like we just need to incorporate that into our service on a regular basis. So we actively listen to God. How do we do that? We pray, and through His Word. I want to say this, really, I want you to hear me with this. God's will for your life will never, capitalize that word never, contradict His Word. He will never tell you to do something that He has not confirmed or already said in His Word. Never. It's not the way God works. His Word, He is sovereign, and His Word is God-inspired. Listen to 2 Timothy. This is the Apostle Paul speaking to his protege, Timothy. All Scripture, not some, all Scripture is God-breathed, God-inspired, and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness. Now listen to this. So that the man slash woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You want to know God's will for your life? Pray, listen to Him, get in His Word. If you're relying on me or your buddies to tell you what God has said in His Word, you're making a big mistake. And I've told you this, and I'll tell you again. Everything I say from this pulpit, if I'm standing in it, should come from God's Word. And I challenge you, if you can challenge me on that. If you ever hear something come from this pulpit that I have not shown you what God has said in His Word, you need to challenge me on it. Okay, are you hearing me? God has spoken. His Word is God-breathed, God-inspired, so that we might be thoroughly equipped for this life that He's given us. Now, here's the thing about God and as He speaks to us. It says in Psalms 119, it says, "Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." And I think I've said something about this before, but I can remember, I envision... If you have a light, like a lantern, anybody ever been camping or any of those kinds, and you have a lantern and, you know, you just get about a 3 foot or whatever radius, you know, around you that you can basically just see for the next step. That's about all that thing is good for. And you know, if you're, I don't know if I've ever said this word in the pulpit before, but if you're pottying out in the woods, is that allowed? Billy, is that allowed to say potty in the woods? Okay, obviously. All right. If you need to potty in the woods when you're camping, you need a little lamp. Now, Cheryl and I, years ago, we were out, we were spotlighting, we were going out and hunting. Cheryl's not a big hunter, but she went with me and with this other couple. And we were out on the mountains out at White Mines, just west of town, and it was dark. I mean, it was dark. And we're going to go out there, we're going to spotlight and catch frogs and do all this stuff and everything. And the guy in front of us, this other couple, he's got a flashlight. And the four of us are in this line walking down this path, and we're all kind of... Wherever he goes, we go. That's what we're doing. And all of a sudden, he stops. And I mean, it's pitch black. And the only light up there is this flashlight. And we got these shotguns. He and I have got a shotgun. And all of a sudden, he said, step back. Boom! I mean, the shotgun goes off. Well, it was a rattlesnake waiting there for supper in that path. And I'm like, oh, Lordy, I'm glad we had that light. Because he was just waiting there to strike whatever came down that walking path. But that's the way it is with God. He doesn't give us this spotlight that's going to always, sometimes He will, but normally He does not give us a spotlight that shines out for the next 30 years. Here's what I have in plan for you 30 years from today. He may only be telling us what our next step is. And then guess what happens when you take that step? The light goes with you. And now you've got light for the next step. And then you've got light for the next step. And that, friends in Christ, is called faith. We walk in faith, not by sight. The people in the Israelites in the desert, in Exodus, you can look this up in Exodus 16, but he's brought them out of bondage, and he has he's leading them in the desert to the land, to the promised land, and for 40 years they wander in the desert because He's punishing them for the sins that they had committed, and He provides manna from heaven once a day. They get up in the morning, they collect this manna that's collected on the ground. They collect this manna, kind of like a bread type substance. They collect this manna, and it's only good for one day. They have to trust it'll spoil if they try to hoard more than one day's worth. They have to keep it. I mean, they have to trust that the manna will be there tomorrow. That's faith. And lastly, as far as actively listening to God, we need to listen to His Spirit. He speaks through His Spirit. I spent 30 years growing up in the church, and I didn't have any clue about the Holy Spirit. I didn't understand anything about the Holy Spirit. I just thought it was weird. I just didn't know anything about it. The Holy Spirit, this morning when we baptized Martha, I prayed and invited the Holy Spirit of God to come and dwell inside of you. That's what happens when we become believers. We invite the Holy Spirit God himself dwelling in us. And let me tell you, if God is dwelling in us, he has something to say. He's not just out there somewhere. He's not just in the room with us. He's in us. If we were believers in Christ, the Holy Spirit is in us. And listen to what he provides. John 16 says this. When he, the Spirit of truth, speaking of the Holy Spirit, comes, he will guide you into all truth. You want to know what's true? You want to know what God's will is in your life? You want to know what you should do? Seek the Holy Spirit. Call on the Holy Spirit. Press into the Holy Spirit. Psalms 32 says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Okay, moving on. The second thing, you will know and fulfill God's will in your life if you do what it says. Do what it says. You know, do what he says, I should say. James chapter 1 says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Many times, as I said, fear, did you know that fear is not from God? If you're feeling fearful about anything, that's different than convicted. It's different than uncertain. But if you are feeling fearful, that's from the enemy. It's not from God. God doesn't work with fear. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says. Now, many times we don't want to know God's will because he may tell us something that we're afraid to do, that we don't want to do. So if you press into God and he speaks to you, we need to act. Third thing, you will know and fulfill God's will in your life if you admit complete dependence on God. In other words, knowing it's not you. He's not asking you to do something in your own strength. He's not asking you to do something that you're not capable to do without empowering you to do it. Now, I love this passage. It shows the human side of our Savior. He was God and he was divine, but he was also man. And we don't understand the complexity of all of that, but we know that he struggled. God's word says that he struggled just like we do. He faced temptations just like we do. And in the garden, before he was to go to the cross, he knew what he was going into. He knew when he came to Jerusalem, this is what's going to happen to me. It's not going to be pretty. He asked the disciples to sit here and pray, and he goes to pray, and this was his prayer. He fell with his face to the ground, and he prayed, My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. He understood that even Jesus needed the power of the Holy Spirit to go through with the cross. He was struggling. The human side of him was struggling. It's like, I've said this before, my paraphrase of that is, isn't there another way? Isn't there another way? But not as I will, as you will. In 2 Corinthians, we also read Paul had a struggle. And they call it a thorn in the flesh, and I believe it's an analogy of something that he is struggling with. We don't know, maybe it was some sort of addiction that in Paul's life or just some kind of struggle in his life. But it says, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. You want to do what God has called you to do in your life? Come to the end of yourself and let God do it. That's what you do. You come to the end and you say, God, I can't do this. I can't forgive that person. I can't forgive that person. I can't hear what you are telling me to do in this situation. Come to the end of yourself and allow the Holy Spirit to do what he does. One of the things that's so amazing about God, there's no other religion, there's nothing else that does this, and that is this. He specializes in transforming pain into purpose. Did you know that? I see it over and over and over. The people that I minister to, that I deal with on a daily basis, he specializes in transforming pain into purpose if we let him. I want you to watch just a couple of minutes here of this video. You've probably seen this before. They call it cardboard testimonies. But I want you to watch the difference in the people's faces when they have the card on one side and when they flip it. Watch their faces. Watch how they behave. Go ahead and play it.
He is jealous for me, flows like a hurricane on a tree, bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I'm unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are. It's a how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us.
And oh,
For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I want you to do, if you would, just bow your heads a minute. God wants us to know His purpose for our lives. Before we can fulfill His purposes, we have to know Him and we have to be well. We don't have to be perfect. He wants to restore our hearts. He wants us to have a cardboard testimony. Father, I know there's some this morning that are just hurting. They just need to hear from You. Help us to press into You. Help us just to, we don't have to do anything. We just have to receive. We just have to say, help me. Lord, come. Come and minister to our hearts. Teach us what is best for us and direct us in the way we should go. Transform our pain into purpose. In the name of Jesus, amen. Our praise team will come up. This morning, as we close our service, I just feel like some of you may want to come and be prayed for after the service. Billy, can you stay with me and do that? Billy and I will stay up front and we will be here after the service. Just come, and it may be for specific physical healing. I can't really give you all the details right now, but I can tell you this. I think it was around 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. God did a documented major physical miracle in our prayer room. Major physical documented. We've got before results and we've got after results. Unquestionably, God moved. God loves us. God wants to heal us, and it may be a physical healing, it may be an emotional healing, but I invite you to come after the service and come and wait for us down front, and we will pray for you if that's your heart this morning. Stand as we close.
All to Jesus I surrender. To Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily. I surrender all. I surrender. Surrender all.
To teach us what is best for us, and He wants to direct us in the way we should go. Go and tell someone. God bless you. We are dismissed.
I surrender.